When I came to understand that Jesus loved me, that's about all I knew. And by that time, I was also in show business. And so my lifestyle, that whole show business thing happening, was so very, very different from, you know, the Christian lifestyle that, to be honest with you, God had to be really patient for a while. As I came to grow in the knowledge and grace of Him, I had to learn, in my great adventure called the Christian walk, I had to learn something called discernment. In other words, determining between right and wrong, understanding what was best for my life, given what God shares with us in His Word about the way to live our lives. I had to come to understand more about God's nature, how God felt about things, and make that the way I felt about things. Discernment was very important, a way to grow. And so what God did to help me grow in that area, He put me in situations that I had to deal with. For example, when I was in my early 20s, as a Christian, I actually fell into a cult called the Way International. They looked Christian, they sounded Christian, they prayed, they read their Bibles. Come to find out, nobody in the group believed any of the doctrines of the Christian faith. And it just shocked me. And so God started saying to me, you know what, there are some things that look good, that look even Christian, and they're really not. And so that started one kind of discernment that I really started getting into, and that's doctrinal discernment. And then, you know, I came to a point when I was in my mid-20s where I had to learn discernment in an area that was much, much bigger than just being a part of a small little group. I had to learn where my life was going. I had to discern what God wanted for me. I was still in show business. I had by that time done a couple of Broadway shows. I had done a movie. I had done commercials. I was signed with one of the largest talent agencies in Los Angeles. But I came to a point where all of that started conflicting with what I was professing as a Christian. God one day said, you know, Rich, you got to choose. You got to choose if you're going to go this path and get those things that the world is promising you, or you're going to go this path and choose those things that I'm promising you. And, you know, it was kind of hard because all those people that I worked with at that time that was sort of in my circle of actors and singers and dancers, they're all big stars now. Big stars. But I went the way that God wanted me to go. I chose Him, and now here I am. And all of us, God works in our lives in ways where He puts things before us that help us discern more about what His heart is like and what's good for our lives, and that way we grow. One of the issues right now facing many Christians is this whole issue called Harry Potter. It's a discernment issue. Just out of curiosity, has anybody here happened to hear anything about a Harry Potter? Anyone? Really, who hasn't heard about Harry Potter, right? I mean, this thing is big. This issue is big. Just to give you an idea of how big it is, a few statistics for you. The Harry Potter books have sold 116 million copies in 47 different languages. And J.K. Rowling, the Scottish author of the books, is probably going to be the very, very first author to make $1 billion. She is the wealthiest woman in Britain now, second only to the Queen of England. She's probably pretty happy. For those of you who maybe don't know the Harry Potter story, let me do a quick recap. Harry Potter is actually going to be a series of 7 books. 4 of those books have been released so far. It's a story about a little orphan boy named Harry Potter. Now, Harry lives a miserable lifestyle. He lives with a stepfamily that's cold, unloving, cruel. He has to sleep under the stairs with spiders. They don't feed him well, and he's just totally unloved. He lives a miserable existence until one day when he starts getting mysterious letters. These letters tell him that Harry's just not an ordinary little boy. He's a wizard. He has magical powers within him. And these letters also invite him to attend Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, where he, along with other little witches and wizards, are to hone their magical skills. Harry also finds out that he is actually the son of a murdered witch and wizard who were killed by the evil sorcerer Lord Voldemort. Very exciting adventure tale. So Harry goes off to Hogwarts School of Witchcraft, and there he learns more about magic. He has to have various adventures. He avoids Lord Voldemort. He solves puzzles and riddles. There's a lot of interesting characters, action. It's just a great storyline, obviously. And kids, as well as adults, really love this tale. And each book in the series is another year in the life of Harry Potter at this school. Well, sounds kind of harmless. I mean, it's just your basic adventure tale. It's got a lot of neat characters in it. It's got a lot of action, a lot of adventure. Very easy to see how maybe a lot of kids and even adults would like reading this book. But there is a problem. There is a controversy with many people saying, oh, the Harry Potter books are just fine. And others saying, no. Something's wrong here with the Harry Potter books. Let me read you a couple newspaper headlines that might give you an idea of kind of what's going on here. Potter themes anger Christians. Harry Potter film, invitation to join the occult. The Harry Potter books, charming stories or demonic plot? Here's one I like. Harry Potter, sorcery will turn kids into little demons. This is my favorite one, though. Some fear road to hell paved with Harry Potter. Well, obviously, you know, the initial reaction to some of these headlines is understandable, and I reacted the same way. It's, oh my gosh, those crazy Christians, again, causing problems where there's no problems, overreacting, saying something's evil when it's really not, it's just a series of books. Here's the thing, though. When you get an issue that has one major side and another major side, and you've got to somehow fit into that issue when you have to make a decision about how it's going to affect your life or whether you're going to participate or whether you're going to have your kids participate, God has a word for us of instruction when it comes to something like that. It's not to simply cast everything aside and go, oh, I'm sure they're fine, or oh, I'm sure they're satanic. Look what God says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. He says, examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good and abstain from every form of evil. So even with things like Harry Potter, movies we see, books we read, we need to test all things. It's very important to gather facts and information about these issues so we can make a good discerning decision. And to not jump on one side or the other when it comes to controversial issues like this. God says, remember, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You see, so God wants us to think carefully about these things. Look at Proverbs 18, verse 13. He who gives an answer before he hears, it is a folly and shame to him. You know, one of the worst things we as Christians can do is take a stand, positively or negatively, on an issue that we haven't really looked at. You know, before I read the Harry Potter books or really knew much about them, people would ask me, you know, Rich, you know, you're into cults and the occult and world religions and all these types of issues. And what do you think of the Harry Potter books? I hadn't read the Harry Potter books. I didn't know. And so I said, I don't know. It's okay to say I don't know. God says, when you say I don't know, take the time to look at an issue before you give an answer about it. Look at verse 15 in Proverbs. It says, the mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. See, God's saying, you know, it's a great thing for you to acquire knowledge when it comes along for you to take it in and apply it to your life. But then he goes beyond that and says, but you know what? The ear of the wise actually seeks it out, goes after knowledge, wants to find it. So we have a responsibility to really go after understanding issues like this Harry Potter thing. Again, in Philippians 1:9, look at this verse. I love this verse. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. There's that word again. Determining between right and wrong, what's best and what maybe isn't so good. So that you may approve the things that are excellent. God wants us to be involved with those things that are excellent. Excellent. So you may approve those things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. God wants us to pursue knowledge about everything and test everything. And then especially when it comes to the Harry Potter series and things like that, this is, I think, the most applicable verse, 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial or profitable. See, that's the key. We as Christians, we live under grace, right? We live under grace, not the law. So things that are not directly prohibited or commanded by God in the Bible, those are things that we can sort of, as individuals with our relationships with Christ, sort of make a decision upon. That's part of the great freedoms in Christ. And one of the ways that we do that is to look at something and say, am I going to be involved in this? And if I am, is it going to be beneficial? Is it going to be profitable? Is it going to be helpful? I may be able to do it or be a part of it, but what's the benefit here? And that's what we have to apply when we look at Harry Potter, especially when we're trying to make decisions about our children, because they certainly need to be guarded a little bit more than adults. So whether you're reading a book or seeing a movie or consuming a beverage, is it beneficial, profitable? So let's take a look a little bit more at the whole controversy and what's really going on here. Well, in these newspaper stories that I've read, you're basically going to get only two extremes, right? I mean, that's the media. So one extreme, you have the Harry Potter fans saying, the books and movie are just fantasy, don't worry about it, there's nothing real in it, there's no witchcraft, there's no occultism in it, it's just imagination. They say that the books contain fabulous moral lessons and are books of virtue. The books should be read by everybody, no matter what the age. And some people are even saying that J.K. Rowling is a Christian. That's one extreme. Well, there's another extreme. And this is an extreme position taken by some well-meaning but misguided Christians and have gone too far in the other direction. Now, these individuals, they say that the Harry Potter books are actually real step-by-step guides to witchcraft. They even contain Satanism and are somehow satanic. That's a pretty serious charge, isn't it? That is what they feel. Others are even going so far as to say the Harry Potter books and reading them is somehow linked to the rise of the Antichrist in the last days. That's interesting. Very interesting. They also say that Rowling is a witch, and so the books should be banned or burned. Well, these are the extremes you're getting. And one of the keys to discernment of any issue is understanding that usually that issue is neither as good or as bad as many people make it out to be, right? Usually the truth is sort of somewhere in the middle there that takes a little bit of this and a little bit of that and puts it together, and that's sort of the truth. And so that's what we want to get to today. One of the ways I want to do that is to start off by telling you what I'm not saying about the Harry Potter books. That's the best way to sort of give you an idea of where I'm coming from. It's sort of a strange way to start a message out, but I want to tell you what I'm not saying. I am not saying that the books should be banned or burned. That's very important. I'm not saying that they contain Satanism or that they're satanic. Satanism is a very specific religious belief system, and the beliefs of it are just, they're just not in the Harry Potter books. Also, I'm not saying J.K. Rowling's a witch or that the Harry Potter books are in any way connected to the rise of the Antichrist. Okay, so let's get that straight. I'm also not saying, and this is very, very important for many of you out there who maybe have already had your children or grandchildren read these books or see the Harry Potter movie, I am not saying that every kid who gets exposed to these books is going to become a witch or turn to witchcraft. They are not, as the newspaper headline said, they are not going to become little demons. And then finally, and this is most importantly, I'm not saying that reading the Harry Potter books is sinful, or that if we know Christians who have read them and feel good about it, that we should somehow break fellowship with them over this issue. No, that's very important. We're not here to divide over issues like this. I don't want any division in this church or any church out there over the Harry Potter books. Reading Harry Potter has nothing to do with the essentials of the faith, like the Trinity, the deity of Christ, the virgin birth, salvation by grace alone, through faith alone. These are the important things that tie us together as believers. Anything outside of that, we can basically agree to disagree agreeably. So what am I saying? What am I saying about the Harry Potter books? Drum roll, please. Here it comes. First, the Harry Potter books unquestionably contain accurate and positive presentations of various occult practices, occult personalities, occult historical events, and occult mythology. That's unquestionable. It's in there. It's in the books. What Rowling has done is she's written her fantasy tale and her fictional story and inserted into that fantasy tale real things from the world of the occult. That's very important to understand. In other words, it's sort of half fiction and half real. Secondly, I'm saying that the Harry Potter books do glamorize behavior that is diametrically opposed to biblical morality and ethics. In these books, we have good characters doing some very bad things. Things that would be unbiblical, like lying, stealing, cheating, seeking revenge. Good characters doing those types of things. And it's all made to look very, very fun. Now, here's a question we've got to ask ourselves. If these books contain real occultism, and if these books contain behavior that's biblically unethical and immoral, and it's sort of being presented in a fun way and it's entertaining, then when we know something else about kids, is it profitable? Is it beneficial? And that something else is that kids like to, what, copy. Kids like to copy. We know that. They emulate what they see, especially characters with whom they identify and with things that they sort of find exciting. Even when kids are watching TV, they like to copy what's on TV. I mean, if you watch MTV at any time, they have some of these shows, and not that I watch MTV, please. I don't. But if you do, you will find on MTV shows where they do some stupid stunts, you know, but they always post this warning, kids, don't do this at home. Don't ride your bike off the roof. I mean, I did it when I was a kid. You guys did it when you were kids, right? I remember when I was probably about 6 or 7 years old, my brother and I saw something on TV where somebody was riding some sleigh or something down a mountainside. It was a stunt that was being done for a movie, and it was really, really cool. And later that day, we received this huge, long shipment, a shipment of something, and my brother thought it would be very, very, very cool, after we saw this television show, to get in the box and ride it down our basement stairs. Bad idea. Now, he was about 4 years older than me, and he was the mischievous one. I mean, I was always the one who, like, you know, obeyed mom and dad, because basically I was too scared to do anything else, right? But he was always the mischievous one. So he said, okay, Rich, what I want you to do is I'm going to get in the box, I'm going to put it on the stairs, and you hold it until I'm ready, and then I say, go! And you let go, and I'm going to ride that thing down. It's going to be so cool. I said, Alan, I don't think we should do that. But he said, oh, come on, you're such a chicken. So he got in the box. We got it on the stairs, and I was holding it, and he was excited, and he said, go! And I let go. Now, see, our stairs to the basement were about this steep. And the plan was for him to ride it down and have this cool trip just all the way down the stairs. But you see, when I let go, the bottom of the box, it caught the third stair. And then it started going this way. And it kept going, and then it flipped over and over with my brother inside. It was the second time he broke his arm. All of that's to say, kids like to copy. And that could be a problem when they're looking at things like occultism and immoral and unethical behavior. Is it beneficial to have our kids being entertained by something that, if they copied it, if they were to start copying some of the occultism and some of the immoral behavior there, would it be good for them? We have a lot of occultism in these books. Let me get more specific about that by defining, first of all, what the occult is. The occult is a vast system of religious studies, theories, practices, and beliefs that allegedly enable participants to obtain supernatural knowledge, and from that knowledge control their lives or something in the world around them. In other words, they want to make their will happen with all of these rites and rituals and practices and things. Now, a lot of occult practices you've already heard of. Astrology, numerology, divination, crystal gazing, mediumship, spell casting, potions, charms, and necromancy, which is basically communication with spirits of the dead. Now, all these things that I've just listed, guess what? They are actually in the Harry Potter books. We have this fantasy tale where J.K. Rowling has inserted all these real things into her storyline. And so, in other words, a kid could actually, by reading these books, if they wanted to, go to the library or go to the internet and get more information on those things and get involved and start experimenting and dabbling with those things. That's just common sense. For example, there's a Madame Trelawney, who's a good character in Harry Potter, who at one point goes into a mediumistic trance, her mouth gapes open, and from within, a disembodied voice speaks forth a word of prophecy. This is classic spiritism, classic channeling. It's real, and it's presented in a very, very authentic, accurate way. We see these things again and again. Look what God says about such things, though. Deuteronomy 18:10-12. He says, there shall not be found among you anyone that uses divination, or is an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination. Now that's a pretty strong condemnation. When God says something is an abomination to him, he really doesn't like it. So we have to ask ourselves, when we're discerning what's right here, is it good to have our children being entertained by those things that God actually calls an abomination and condemns? Look at Galatians 5:19-20. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, and sorcery. Again, this is what's really in these books. And then finally, 1 Samuel 15:23, God says, rebellion is as the sin of divination or witchcraft. Now, you know, I was always confused at this verse. Why God would equate divination or witchcraft, magic, these types of things, with rebellion. Well, it's because remember what the definition for magic is? It is conforming the world around you and making changes in it according to your will. See, magic and the occult and witchcraft and divination, it's all seeking to make yourself the god of your world. It's not being subject to a sovereign lord, a sovereign creator who's in control of things. It's you deciding what's happening. And that's the draw of the occult. That's why kids are so attracted to it, because it promises them unlimited power and unlimited ability to make things happen in their lives the way they want it to happen. We also have various personalities in the Harry Potter books. For example, in book one, we have a Nicholas Flamel mentioned, who is an alchemist in the Harry Potter books. But what a lot of people don't know is that there really was a real Nicholas Flamel who lived in the 1300s, and he was an alchemist and an occultist. And so a kid who happens to go to the library and look up Nicholas Flamel would find not only information on this individual, but information on all of the occult practices that he indulged in. Also, we have the name Cleodna mentioned in J.K. Rowling's books. Now, Cleodna, most people will read that in passing and think, oh, that's just a made-up name. No, no, no. Cleodna is actually the Celtic goddess that today's neo-pagans and Wiccans actually worship. And we have dozens and dozens of examples of this in the Harry Potter books because J.K. Rowling, remember I said she's not a witch. She's not. But she is an individual who for many, many years has been fascinated with the occult. It's been sort of like a hobby to her to study this stuff. And so she's got this very intricate and in-depth knowledge that she took things she knows about and inserted them into the books that she wrote. In fact, she said that up to one-third, that's a lot, up to one-third of everything in the Harry Potter books is actually taken from her studies and is part of the world of the occult. This is very crucial when we're determining if kids are going to start copying this stuff. We have examples of it already happening. In England, for example, the Pagan Federation last year, the Pagan Federation is an organization that is of witches, neo-pagans, occultists. Last year, they had to take on a youth official for the very first time because of so many requests from kids about information on the occult and witchcraft. And when asked why, the Pagan Federation, the spokesperson, said it was because of books like the Harry Potter series. That's what the occultists themselves are saying. And they're very excited because this is giving such a positive presentation to witchcraft and magic and occultism. Interestingly, in 1997, Purdue University did a study, and they found that movies and entertainment and films that portray the paranormal, the supernatural, and the occult actually influence the personal beliefs of those people who watch those films and movies. And that perhaps maybe as many as 10% of the American population has their beliefs in these things because of the movies they saw. And most vulnerable to that type of influence, guess who? Kids. Kids, because the most impressionable people to see these things are those who have had very little or no exposure to them before. And so when a kid goes to see the Harry Potter movie, if they haven't read a lot about the occult or been talked to a lot about the occult, that's going to be their first presentation of it, and it's going to be very appealing, very exciting, and very stimulating, and they're going to, at the very least, be desensitized to the dangers of the occult. And perhaps for some, actually think it's so cool that they're going to want to start getting involved in it. So we have this problem happening, and, you know, in fact, I was just on a radio program a few weeks ago, and a father called in, and he said that his 11-year-old boy, who had been reading the Harry Potter books, became so fascinated with them that he actually then started going to the library and going to the internet, getting more information on the occult, witchcraft, and magic. And you know what? This little 11-year-old boy now wants to be a Wiccan. Wants to be a witch. And it all started out with just these Harry Potter books. Now, that's not going to happen to every kid. But I have talked to a lot of former occultists who said their involvement with the occult began through entertainment and things that just seemed kind of fun. That's what happened. Why? Because entertainment bypasses the critical thinking skills. And it goes directly to the heart. It's exciting. It's entertaining, especially for children. But remember that other problem that I talked about with the Harry Potter books, the whole ethics and morality thing? Let's look a little closer at that. We have, for example, the character of Hagrid, who is one of the most endearing, lovable characters in the Harry Potter books. Hagrid is actually drunk throughout all four books, and it's made to look funny. It's made to look fun. And so we're looking at something that could have serious consequences in people's lives, and children are being desensitized to that. They're starting to look at drunkenness at a very early age as something just kind of, oh, well, it's just kind of fun. Of course, God says, don't get drunk. It's harmful. It's hurtful. So do we want our children looking at movies and reading books where drunkenness is portrayed as something fun and light? Again, that's something you have to decide. How's that going to affect your kid? We also have the character of Harry Potter himself, who lies consistently. He lies to his teachers. He lies to his friends. He lies to elves and giants. He lies to everybody, and yet he's portrayed as the wonderful hero of these stories. We also have a character named Mr. Weasley. Now, Mr. Weasley works for the Ministry of Magic, and it's his job to hunt down and arrest witches and wizards who take objects owned by non-magical people and bewitch those objects. It's against wizard law in the Harry Potter books. But what does Mr. Weasley do himself in his own personal life? He actually collects objects owned by non-magical people and bewitches them against wizard law. So what does that make him? A hypocrite, doesn't it? And on top of that, he lies to his wife consistently about it. And it's made to look, haha, very, very fun. And yet he's lifted up as this great, wonderful father, as a good wizard. What is that telling children about being a good person? That you can do these things and still be good? For some kids, perhaps so. Now, at the very least, kids might get a little desensitized to this type of behavior and not really look at it as seriously as they should. How could this affect kids? Well, look at 1 Corinthians 15:33. This is what Scripture says. Don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. You see, even if you're raising your kid to live the biblical lifestyle, not lie, not steal, not cheat, not seek revenge, not use profanity, all those things which, by the way, are in the Harry Potter books. If you raise him or her to not do those things, because they're so enthralled with this Harry Potter movie or these Harry Potter books, they could easily start having their good morals corrupted. It's a possibility. You need to think about that when you're making your decision. So kids could be corrupted, and we even see now that many children are reading these books because they do have the children misbehaving in the books so much. I took a couple quotes here from a newspaper story where kids were writing in and saying why they liked Harry Potter. One 7-year-old commented, "I like Harry Potter because he isn't always good." Another 11-year-old agreed, saying, "It's like we're reading about ourselves. They like to do stuff we like to do. They like to get in trouble." See, kids love to read about other kids goofing off and misbehaving. It's fun for them. And yet, we have to be aware as parents that maybe this could influence them to actually start doing those things. You have to be very, very careful. Is it worth it? Well, some of you might be saying, oh, come on now, Rich, you know, I mean, it's just like C.S. Lewis's books, The Chronicles of Narnia. It's just like Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. I mean, that's fantasy. That's got magic in it. You know, sometimes those characters do things that aren't so good. Well, there's a couple big differences. First of all, C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien were devout Christians. And their stories, when it comes to morals and ethics, actually reflect biblical morality. See, the good characters in those stories are consistently good. The bad characters are consistently bad. And when the good characters do things wrong, when they make bad choices, you know what? Bad things happen as a result of it. And so the message comes through that, hey, if you do bad things are going to happen. So it's better to be good. In J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter series, you have the good characters, when they do bad things, it's not only made to look fun, but rarely, if ever, are there any negative consequences. And sometimes when the characters lie, steal, cheat, guess what? They're rewarded. And so a completely different message comes through. Also, when it has to do with the magic in the Chronicles of Narnia and in Tolkien, the magic there is so highly stylized that it becomes completely imaginary. In other words, a kid cannot read C.S. Lewis's books and read Tolkien's works and then go to the library and get information on those very same things they were reading about. That's not so with the Harry Potter books. Kids can do that, and that is, in fact, what they're doing. Remember, all things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. So what's our responsibility here? Well, as Christians, we have a responsibility to ourselves, first of all. Let me read you what Philippians 4:8 says with regard to this. "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good reputation, if there is any excellence, and if anything there is worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Now, if you can read the Harry Potter books, your family can read the Harry Potter books, and through all of that occultism and all of that immorality and unethical behavior, can still dwell on good things, then, you know what, that's between you and God. I can't make that decision for you. That's your relationship with God. And so you have to feel good about that. My responsibility is just to tell you what's in the books so you know what you're dealing with and you know what your kids are dealing with. But then it's up to you to make that decision. But we have a responsibility not only to ourselves, but then also to the world around us. And that responsibility is found in Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. That's what God calls us to do. When we get into a situation, a discernment situation, where there's an issue that we have to make a stand on, and once we get our facts straight, we got our truth, then what we need to do is be salt and light and not be afraid to go out there and stand for truth and share with people what the facts are. And then, you know, what they do with it, again, that's up to them. Now, this may cause some conflict. Be assured of that. You know, when I was quoted in a couple of newspaper articles, I started getting some incredibly angry emails from people, many of them saying that because of this book that I've written on Harry Potter and my criticisms and concerns about Harry Potter, I was just as bad as Osama bin Laden. I am not kidding you. And not just one or two emails. I got almost 100 emails saying this and saying that, you know, because I'm making these extremist, radical, religious comments, I might as well start my own American Taliban. And they said that we are a tolerant country. And why don't I just keep my opinions to myself? Oh, what are you going to do with that? You know, I'm saying to you, be more tolerant than that, than the people who are crying for tolerance. You show what real tolerance is. You have maybe a different opinion than other people, but when you share it, do it in love and in kindness and in gentleness. And if they disagree, they disagree. But it's up to you to get out there and be salt and be light.